Okay. Last time we were talking about medical issues, about the person, if they're sick, they should daven, that they shouldn't get sick, and the responsibilities of a doctor. Halachically, you have to listen to the doctor. All the various different things. We were discussing what happened if somebody is deathly ill and there's a surgery or procedure that could be done. The problem is, if it works, then they can live much longer. But if it doesn't work, they can die earlier. So again, if it's even 50-50, the halacha is that you do the procedure because it's at least possible that the person will be able to live long. We also discussed doctors have to be experts in the field. But today we said doctors, because they're going through medical training, they're all obviously considered professionals in that. Now, let's discuss another interesting thing. You take medication. Now, I'm not talking when life is in danger. Obviously, there's no issues, you know, with you desecrate the whole Torah, except idolatry, adultery, and murder. But is somebody allowed to take medication that's not kosher? A lot of medications are not kosher, by the way. A lot of pills have magnesium stearate in it, which is just basically an animal derivative. there's a lot of liquids might have flavoring, but that might not be kosher. A lot of medications have gelatin in it. A lot of times, you have veggie caps, but you also have gelatin capsules. So the question is somebody allowed to take medication that they need to take, even if it's not kosher? So the point is like this. If it's taken the normal way of eating, like it's liquid medicine, and you just take, you know, a spoonful or whatever it is, or it's a chewable tablet, so because you're eating it, it's really questionable if you're allowed to take it, because you're eating not kosher, and it's not the life-endangering situation. And many times you can get a substitute for it, which would be kosher. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm not advertising any companies. They know, the kosher companies know, let's say, Tylenol. Tylenol liquids happen to be kosher. But sometimes you buy the pharmacy brands, CVS, Walgreens, whatever it is. It's also a liquid. You know, it's instead of Tylenol. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's kosher, because the flavoring could be different. This could be kosher. This could be not kosher. This chewable pill might be kosher. This chewable pill might not be kosher. When it comes to swallowing pills is much, much less of a halachic issue. Why? Because as the Gemara uses the expression, you're eating it not the normal way of eating. You don't eat things by swallowing it. You eat things by chewing it. You know, eating it, swallowing it is not the normal way of eating it. So, for instance, to give you another example, what happens if you have trefa medicine, non-kosher medicine, in a veggie cap? Now, veggie cap is vegetarian, so it's not a problem with kashrus. But inside the veggie cap, it's not kosher medicine. So that's not a problem. Why? Because the food is not even touching your throat. The problem of non-kosher food, by the way, halachically, is when your throat tastes it. In other words, technically, if somebody has a feeding tube straight into the stomach, food goes straight into the stomach. Halachically, that food doesn't have to be kosher because you're not eating it. It's something you're allowed to benefit from. You're allowed to benefit from non-kosher food. You can't benefit from a mixture of meat and milk, but that's a different story. So let's say somebody has a feeding tube in the stomach, and at the same time they put in meat and milk together, and not pig milk, but beef meat. I mean, pig, not pig meat. But let's say they put beef and milk and they make it, and that's the medication into the stomach. So unless if it's a life-endangering situation, you wouldn't be allowed to do it because you're benefiting from meat and milk, which is forbidden not only to eat, but it's forbidden to benefit from too. So technically, if somebody is fed intravenously, or somebody is fed stomach food pipe, So then, halachically, the food doesn't have to be kosher. The question is, when you're eating medicine, so there are some opinions in halacha that say that because it's medicine, even if it's liquid or chewable, you're allowed to take it. But a lot of opinions say that if it's liquid or chewable, which is you're eating it the normal way of eating it, it really should be kosher. Now, what happens if you have a situation, the doctor prescribes a medication, and he says you need to take that, and there's no substitute for it, and the only way it's a liquid, let's say, then you could be makel to take it. But if somebody has an option to get liquid medicine, or to get a pill or a capsule, halachically they should get a capsule or a pill better, because then you're not eating it the normal way of eating. Now that's a problem when you have kids who can't swallow pills. Let's say they're young, they can't swallow pills, and they need to take medicine, the medicine is liquid or chewable. So then again, you know, if the kids are younger, it's not a very big shiloh. But the people should try, especially now you have other issues. That's if you have medication. What happens if somebody's taking vitamin supplements? That really you could live without them. And the vitamin supplements are not kosher, and you can get a kosher substitute, then you really have to get a kosher substitute. Because not even medicine. It's extra stuff. So if you can get a kosher medicine instead of the non-kosher medicines, and it's very interesting. The websites, the CRC in Chicago and the Star K, they have a website. And the website, if you go on, they'll tell you which over-the-counter medications are kosher. I'll tell you, the ones that were checked out already, just regular over-the-counter cough medicines and this medicine, that man, they, you know, whatever it is. So people could check into it and do accordingly. But otherwise, halachically, if you swallow a pill or swallow something treif, it's not a problem, unless if you can't benefit from it, so then it's not only a question, the problem is not eating, the problem is actually benefiting from it. But again, if it's sakada, then there's no question that you're allowed to do it in any way whatsoever. Okay. Another interesting halacha is in the realm of surgeries. You have emergency surgeries that obviously you could do any day of the week. But sometimes you have elective surgeries. I mean, you know, you have to do it, but you don't have to do it in the immediate near future. So then, the Rebbe spoke once that it's preferred that you should not do elective surgery Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, if possible. And today's a little bit different because most elective surgeries, you're out of the hospital the same day. But generally speaking, the Rebbe spoke in those times when the Rebbe said it, you people did even elective surgeries, they stayed in the hospital for a few days. So the Rebbe said it's preferable not to have elective surgery Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Why? So he said two issues. Number one, the Gemara says, there's a din in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to go on a ship. It doesn't mean today's ocean liners. It means the ones that you get really seasick from. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole simon called Maflik Bisfina, going in a boat. So it says in Halacha, you shouldn't go in a boat from Wednesday on. Why? Because the first 3 days, people usually get seasick. And then when you come into Shabbos, you're not feeling well. And Shabbos, you're supposed to enjoy. So therefore, if you do, elective surgery, because you know, usually you don't feel good for the next few days, so then you Shabbos, you're coming, and you're not going to be feeling well. And then the Rebbe spoke a practical issue with this, and it was very interesting. The Rebbe said, it's known that in America, over the weekend, they have substitute doctors. Over the weekend in the hospital. Because the good doctors to get, you know, they have seniority and whatever, they have power. So they take off for the weekends. So who are you stuck with? Younger, newer doctors that are not that acquainted with medicine like a professional older doctor is. So the Rebbe said, number one, you're not going to get such good care over the weekend. So if you can, the Rebbe said, number one, you shouldn't do things to make you suffer. Obviously, if somebody could do it Wednesday, should do it Wednesday instead of Thursday, and Thursday instead of Friday. But again, if there's no choice, obviously, this is the doctors only does the surgery, elective surgery, on Friday. That's the only time they do it, okay? So again, as long as you can get home before Shabbos, or because then you have a problem, how do you get home on Shabbos, which is a separate story. But then you could do it, preferably not to do it on a Friday. But if you have no choice, that's the only time they do it, then you'd be allowed to do it on a Friday. Now, what happens, and this happens very often, especially Friday afternoon, the Rabbanim get such a question. My kid just fell down, they banged their head, they have to go into the emergency room, and Shabbos is in an hour or two, and by the time they finish with the emergency room, it's already Shabbos. How is the kid going to come home on Shabbos? Now, coming home is not life and danger. So what do you do? So there's a din that a person who's sick, you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos through a goy. You can even ask him clearly for a sick person to desecrate Shabbos through a goy. So if somebody, let's say, I'll give you another example. A woman gave birth Friday morning. And the hospital throws you out right after 24 hours. Many hospitals throw you out even earlier now. But a woman had a baby Friday morning, and now she's going to be discharged Shabbos morning. She doesn't stick in the hospital a whole day. They don't let you, number one, because insurance, whatever. So how does that woman go home from the hospital after having the baby? So the din is she can go home with a guy, Uber, taxi. Why? Because she has a din of a sick person. She just gave birth. And therefore, she can go home with a guy. Because all she's doing really, is by sitting in the car, they're indirectly adding weight, which is going to cause more fuel to be consumed. But what she's doing indirectly, she's not desecrating Shabbos by driving. The guy is doing it. The guy is allowed to do it. So then there's not an issue with that. The only question in halacha is, can a Jew, can the husband go home with her, or does the husband have to walk home? So I saw there are a few opinions that say the husband can go also with her, but ideally, if possible, the husband should not go in the car, he should walk home.
Who's going to call the Uber? You have someone from the hospital, right?
If you can have somebody from the hospital calling the Uber, it's much better, because then a guy is calling the Uber from your phone. If not, you're allowed to call the Uber, because it's only one act of desecration Shabbos versus driving yourself in the car, which is a lot of Chilul Shabbos. So the best way of doing it is having the guy call the Uber. And the best thing is to do it right, to tell you the truth. The guy should take the stuff from your house to the car and from the car to your house. The guy should open the car door because the lights go on. The guy should open the car door, close the car door. When you get to the hospital, the guy should open the car door, close the car door, and carry your stuff into the hospital for you. Because in the hospital, you're allowed to carry already. That's the ideal situation. If that doesn't work, then, you know, again, you'd be allowed to do it the other way.
What if the Uber driver is Jewish?
Again, halachically, he would be allowed to do it anyway, because like Hatzalah. Hatzalah is, well, from a Yidin, and they're driving around on Shabbos, emergency situations. But halachically, why can I call an Uber? Because halachically, most Uber drivers are not Jewish. In fact, meanwhile, not in Israel, I'm talking here. Most Uber drivers are not Jewish. So therefore, when I call, I can assume it's going to be from the majority who is not Jewish. So therefore, I'm not asking for Israel might be a bigger problem, you know. But, okay. Maharaj Hinazar, Maizam, Maharaj Hinazar, 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 Maharaj